You hear that? Your dog knows spring is coming sooner than you think. Dog walks, dog parks, playing fetch, all the stuff your dog loves to do with you. But the warmer weather also means that fleas and ticks are coming back. Fleas and ticks are in the grass, in the woods, and even on their dog friends. Fleas are an itchy nuisance, can easily get into your home, furniture, and beds, which can be terrible. Ticks are even worse. They're hard to spot, but can carry disease and get your dog really sick. PetMeds has your furry friend protected with the best products to prevent flea and ticks all year long. PetMeds pharmacists connect directly with your vet to save you time and deliver the best products for your pet. PetMeds offers low prices on all flea and tick meds, including NexGard, Simparica, and more. And PetMeds AutoShip helps you save even more with additional discounts on regular shipments of PetMeds, dog food, and other high-quality supplies. So get ready for all the spring fun now. Visit PetMeds.com and use promo code PODCAST to save 40% on your first auto ship order. That's PetMeds.com and promo code PODCAST.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Today on the On Enquirer podcast, Michael Tulip joins me to break down his thoughts on Illinois' loss to Purdue. What a phenomenal college basketball game. Of course, it didn't go the Illini's way. What went wrong for the Illini in that second half offensively? What did Mike think about their defensive effort? What do you think of Purdue just hitting big shot after big shot? And then we'll look ahead to the Illini's regular season finale, which will have no impact on their Big Ten finish, will have no impact on their Big Ten seeding, as a very different game, Michigan State against Northwestern. Michigan State wins 53-49. Ugly, ugly basketball game. But for Illinois, it was beautiful because it locked up the number two seed in the Big Ten tournament and their third, second place finish in 4 years, a third top two finish, I should say, in the Big Ten. The last 4 years, of course, winning a share of the Big Ten title, getting the number one seed 2 seasons ago, finished second, asterisk, in the 2021 season, even though they had the most wins in that one. I still think Illinois and Michigan should just been co-champs in that one, but we know how that went. But it's been a really good run, obviously, for Brad Underwood's program. But we'll see if Illinois, what they can do at Iowa, which is in desperation mode. They need this win over Illinois. I think it'll be a phenomenal test for the Illini. We get Michael Tulip's thoughts on all of that. Joy Wagner and I will be at Illinois Pro Day on Friday. Probably won't have a podcast breaking that down, but I want to shout out Joy Wagner at the beginning of this podcast for making the effort and putting something into the works that we've wanted to do for a while, but Joy really just kickstarted this entire thing, and that was handing out the Lauren Tate Media Award. One, I love that we're honoring Lauren Tate, who's an absolute legend, has been nothing but awesome to me, supportive of me, kind to me, obviously he's a big part of Illinois athletics and Illini athletics. So many people, whether it's listening to him on radio or reading his columns for decades, he has been a part of the Illini experience as much as coaches, as much as some of the players, it's just amazing the impact he has had on Illini athletics. So we love that we're honoring him. But well, there's some guys I think of, like Nathan Schielhaus, Nick Allegretti, Sidney Brown, who we just got to see the other day. Some of those guys were definitely deserving of this honor, but I can't think of a guy that's as deserving as Isaiah Williams. To receive the honor the first time was almost unanimous selection to get the Lauren Tate Media Award, which is given basically to the player that we think helps us do our job the most, who is the most engaging, most informative. And we told this to Isaiah before we honored it to him, but these guys trust us to tell their story. And no one has been more trusting than Isaiah. No one has given fans more insight than Isaiah, whether it's wins, losses, coaching changes, and just really his inspirational journey. Isaiah has been one of my favorite to cover. I've covered him since I stepped into Trinity Catholic High School. And due to story on Larry Boyd and Isaiah and Shimon Cooper, Reggie Love, all these guys were outside doing a photo shoot because they are the movement, right? And I saw Isaiah the day he got his Illinois offers. Lovey Smith and his staff brought the bus on one of the last satellite camps Illinois was able to do at Trinity Catholic. He's about 15 years old. Now he's 23, about to be drafted likely into the NFL. Big pro day for him coming up as he tries to get a better time. But he's put it all on tape, and he's going to be on an NFL team in the summer. But he's just shared his journey the entire way, and I've loved covering it. Hopefully I get to cover his NFL draft experience. But just one of the best I've covered, and I thanked him for letting us tell his story, which should be an inspiration to so many people, but especially in his town of St. Louis. He just means so much to that city. You know, that city means so much to him. And as only Isaiah Williams would do, he thanked us for telling his story, because he's, you know, not the most outgoing on social media and all that. And that was just really Isaiah to do that. So I just want to shout him out before this, along with Joey Wagner and Lauren Tate for that award. So I thought it was a really cool moment. And for Lauren and Isaiah to get to share that moment was really cool as well. So if you haven't, you go check out that the video of that press conference on YouTube. And you can see Isaiah and Lauren doing their thing, because those guys are two of my favorites. All right, let's get to Michael Tuip breaking down Illinois basketball against Purdue, looking ahead to Sunday's Iowa game as well. That's next on the Illini Inquirer podcast. I'm always looking to eat better, especially when I'm out on the road like I am so much in March. But eating better has never been easier with Factor's delicious ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to go in just 2 minutes. You'll have over 35 different options to choose from every week, including Calorie Smart and Keto, but my favorite is the Protein Plus. Also, there are more than 60 add-ons to help you stay fueled up and feeling good all day long. So what are you waiting for? Get started today and get after your goals. The great part about Factor, these are two-minute meals. Fuel up fast with Factor's restaurant quality meals. They're ready to heat and eat wherever you go. So whether it's pancakes, smoothies, more, you can discover a wide variety of easy options for the entire day, like breakfast, midday bites, and more. And you can be flexible with your schedule with these meals. You can get as much or as little as you need by choosing your meals every week. Plus, you can pause or reschedule deliveries at any time. Factor is the perfect solution if you're looking for fast, premium options with no cooking required. So you can sign up and save. We've done the math. Factor is less expensive than takeout, and every meal is dietitian approved to be nutritious and delicious. So head to factormeals.com/Illini50 and use code Illini50 to get 50% off. That's code Illini50 at factormeals.com/Illini50 to get 50% off. It's that time of week. Catch up with Michael Tuip after a big Illini game. Great atmosphere. Mike was there at the State Farm Center. We'll get into that here in a little bit, Mike. But a 77-71 loss to number three Purdue, who I thought looked Final Four good, especially in that second half. But what was your biggest takeaway from one of the biggest games of the Big Ten season?
Yeah, I think when you look at the just the Purdue team in general, I think that's one of, if not the best team in the country. And to have your All-American in foul trouble and out of rhythm for a lot of that game, and to have some cold shooting in the second half and then look up and still be up 66-64 with a little over 3 minutes remaining should be really encouraging. But you just kind of got to tip your cap to Purdue. I thought they had guys step up. I thought Lawyer and Smith were outstanding down the stretch. And you know, Edie, I thought he was great as well. But I think if that team's going to achieve what they're looking to achieve this year, it's with those two guys. It's with Smith and Lawyer and those surrounding parts around Edie. And they got the best of you at the end of that game. So you tip your cap, but nothing to be discouraged about if you're an Illini fan.
Yeah, I know Illinois fans don't want to hear us just praise Purdue, but they're really good. They're a better team, Mike. Like, Zach Edey is what he is, but as you said, like, the reason I'm buying this team is because I think what they went through last year with those freshman guards, those guys are better. Lance Jones was an upgrade, and Mason Gillis continues to do what he does. Like, but Braden Smith and Fletcher Lawyer, if those guys are on, they can win a national title.
Yeah, no question. And at halftime, too, you're up, and everybody's kind of walking around. I'm in the tunnel. I'm talking to some people, and it's like, God, you got to, like, sever the head off with these guys. Because they just hang around, and you give them a chance to hang around, and you're, you know, with different coverages that you're throwing at them. Now they have guys that step up and make shots. Like, it's hard. Like, Nebraska ended up beating them at Nebraska because they had to just, like, get up by 16, get up by 14, and not give them the room to come back. But much easier said than done. Just like the whole Zach Edey, how do you guard him? It's, you know, I can sit here and talk about coverages and this and that, but I'm not the one that's, you know, trying to chest up a 7'4", 300-pound guy. It's a lot harder than it looks.
So let's talk about that. I mean, they hold the team under 80 points, and it was the number three team in the country. I think Purdue ended up with 1.25 points per possession in the game. They go 8-for-10. They go nuclear from three. What did you think of the way Illinois tried to guard them and the way they executed guarding them?
I actually thought they were really good defensively. We'll show some of the film, but I thought that they really got into them early in the game. I thought they really got Edey off of his spots early in the game as well. Just some uncharacteristic misses for him. I thought he didn't look comfortable. And part of that is not giving him a steady diet. I thought they did a great job of mixing up coverages. They went single coverage at times. They trapped from the ball side. They trapped from the weak side. And with a guy like Edey, you're never really going to stop him, but you at least want him to have to process things. Right, process more than one thing where it's like, hey, you're trapping from the ball side every time, or hey, you're trapping from the weak side every time. He at least had to process what was going on, and he's a really smart player. And you know, he made the correct reads in the second half out of those rotations. But I thought there were, we'll show the film again, but like, I thought there were times in that rotation out of those traps that just weren't as clean as they should have been, and it led to some of those threes and miscommunications. And that's why when you look at the teams that knock off Purdue, it's the teams that do a lot of post-trapping the whole entire year. It's Northwestern. It's Nebraska. It's those teams that are so sound with the way they zone up out of it, with the way they rotate out of it. And that's just not Illinois' game. That's not – they don't post-trap unless it's Edey or maybe, you know, one other team throughout the year. So you have to be used to those kind of things and rep those kind of things. But if it's not what you do, you're not practicing it every day. So it makes it that much more challenging to play a team like Purdue.
Mike, for the first time in 9 games, Illinois did not score 80 plus points. So besides Marcus Domask in that second half, I think he and Coleman Hawkins was the only other one to score a field goal in the final 12 minutes. Why did the offense go cold? What did Purdue do, or what did Illinois get out of?
Yeah, I think when you go back and watch it, and even being there in real time, a lot of the shots that Illinois wants to force defensively were the ones that Purdue was forcing them into during that stretch. It was really kind of like the, you know, the 13, 12 and a half minute mark to the, call it 7 minute mark, where they had that really cold stretch. And part of that, again, you're shooting floaters and pull-ups from the Big Ten logo, inside the, you know, deep in the paint, or I guess further out in the paint. And I thought Zach Edey had a lot to do with that as well, because the second he checked out, Damask is able to pivot, get under the basket and lay it in against Kaufman Wren and Cam Heidi. So you had two blocks in that Edey stretch, one on Damask at the rim, and then one on, you know, Coleman had a great, you know, lured Edey out, swing it and cut to the basket. It was a great cut, gets it, and Edey kind of chases him down. And you know, that's going to happen. You're going to have cold stretches like that, and you just got to keep playing through it. I thought they did that for the most part. And when they got down 64-58, Myers chugs a couple beers and you you get right back into it. Not only do you tie it up, you take the lead 66-64. So seeing the fact that like they could go through those spells and then against a team like Purdue still punch back and take the lead was encouraging. But that's just that's going to be the nature of that offense. It's been really good for the majority of the season with going to Marcus Dumask and trying to kind of hunt matchups. And so there's going to be times where you have a 4 to 5 minute spell where it's not going to look great and it's going to look stagnant. But on the whole, I thought they were solid offensively throughout the night. It's just, it was a lower possession game. I think it was the second lowest possession game they've played all season. And that was a factor. I don't think they were accustomed to that given how the last few months have been.
That's right. A bad night for your best player to have a bad night in Terrence Shannon Jr. One of his least efficient performances of the year, tied for his least efficient since his return with that Indiana game. What led to that? I thought Edie's presence certainly loomed large there, but you're not gonna be able to beat a number one kind of seed probably with Terrence Shannon having that kind of game. And I think it says something about the depth, Quincy Guerrier stepping up, Marcus Dumas stepping up, that you had a chance.
Yeah, I thought Terrence got off to a really good start, actually. They get a stagger to him, he comes off, he missed the shot, chases his offensive rebound, lays it in to kind of start the game. And I thought he was tremendous on Braden Smith early. Yeah. I thought he made Braden look really uncomfortable and looked uncomfortable handling the ball, which that doesn't happen much for Braden Smith. And look, I think for Terrence, the foul trouble really took him out of rhythm, I thought, on both sides. And when you look at the depth of the team, like you said, that's encouraging, because there's not a lot of teams across the country where you have an All-American guy that is 3 for 11 or 3 for 13 or whatever it ended up being, and then still having a chance to knock off a team like Purdue. I think it speaks to Dumask and speaks to Hawkins and Guerrier and all those guys that stepped up. But look, I think when you look at Terrence, like, you're not in the position you're in without him at this point. Right. He's such a big part of that. And I think one thing we've probably all learned about Terrence over the years is he's very aware of performances like that. And I think he takes those personal, and he's shown time and time again that he can bounce back from those. And that's encouraging.
He was probably due one.
Yeah. Yeah. Considering the torrid stretch he was on, he probably was due one. I think, some of the things for him is just, he can look tired at times, and there was a portion, around the, I want to say it was around like the 8 or 9 minute mark when it was like, it was, 2.5 straight minutes of really getting up and down and just continuing to challenge yourself and lock in and push through that. Cause I think sometimes for Terrence, and for a lot of players, the resting that you try to do is on the defensive end sometimes. And against Purdue, when you're having to lock in on zoning up and rotations out of that, it's really hard to do that. So I don't worry about Terrence. Right. We have enough of a body of work here to know that, he's going to take ownership of that and bounce back.
Looking back at this game, I wish I would ask Brad Underwood after the game about the late lineup, because Quincy Guerrier had such a good first half, Mike, especially offensively. And I did think he battled a little bit more defensively and on the glass. And he didn't really play towards the end of the game. Luke Goody played the final 11 minutes, really didn't make a big impact there. Justin Harmon didn't have a great night off the bench either, and he was in that late lineup. Did you have any issues with not having Guerrier on there? Because, Brad Underwood's kind of complaining about getting loose balls, and, they didn't have, like, one of the guys who I thought played one of his best games here recently, Quincy Guerrier on the floor.
Yeah, I think it's tough, because part of the thought process is, who is Edie going to guard? And whoever Edie is guarding, you have to involve in actions to get him out, get him away from the basket. So between Ty and between Quincy and between Coleman, out of those three guys, probably want Coleman being involved in the actions. His ability to kind of read out of it, make passes out of it, his ability to stretch the floor and shoot the ball. Because if you play Ty and you play Quincy, Edie's going to guard, or either of them, either Edie's going to guard one of those two guys. And part of that cold stretch that we were talking about earlier, you had Imani in there for a little bit and you had Dane in there for a little bit, and Edie just camped out.
Yep.
And it's why I think he's definitely all defensive team, and why he should be in consideration for defensive player of the year, because he has such a big impact on that end. So that's a piece of it, right? There's the offensive piece of it. But I think when you look at the in totality with rebounding and with, you know, 50-50 balls, you know, I think that's definitely an area that Ty Rogers excels in. I know Quincy only had two rebounds, but I thought his intentionality on the glass was better than I think we've seen it over the past few weeks. So, you know, it's hard when you have depth like this. I just think if you're Justin Harmon and you're Luke Goody, it's got to be the mindset of like, hey, we're in the game. We're in for Quincy. We're in for Ty. We have to do everything we can to be a factor on the glass. And Harmon had three rebounds. I think Luke had two. Yeah. But just continuing that mindset of, hey, I got to be engaged. I got to be ready to go. And I got to really, really chip in with the 50-50 balls and the rebounds. So it's tough, but I think part of it comes down to you got to score to win that game against Purdue. And you probably need your best offensive lineup out there, and that's Coleman at the five, and that's Edie guarding Coleman.
Yeah. I just – for this team to hit its ceiling, Mike, I feel like Quincy Guerrier has to be January, December, Quincy Guerrier. Yeah. And I felt like we were starting to see that a little bit. I'd just like to see you ride with him at the end of games, because I just think you're at your best when Quincy is there, and we're starting to see little signs of it at least.
I agree. No, I think – if this team is going to make a second weekend, make a run at a Final Four, it won't be with Quincy Guerrier as a non-factor. I think he is the guy, much like a Jacob Granison, like those type of guys that just kind of give you that extra, I don't want to say icing on the cake, but their contributions outside of a Damask, outside of a Shannon, outside of a Hawkins are huge. And I think potentially the staff got in a rhythm of, hey, here's kind of a lineup we like late, and we sit these guys. And I think it's just continuing to assess moving forward where, hey, you know, Quincy's 3-for-4, I think it was from three, and look confident. And just like a lot of these college kids, man, that tends to permeate throughout your game. And I thought he looked more aggressive. I thought he defended better than we've seen him defend over the last few weeks, few months. I totally agree. I think if you're gonna hit your ceiling, it's gonna be with Quincy Guerrier.
Mike, I don't want to overlook the week that Marcus Damask has just had. What he did at Wisconsin in his home state against the Badgers, and then 20 points, what, 12 of the final 16 points I think Illinois scored were Marcus Damask against Purdue to give them a chance in the closing minutes. I have him on my All Big Ten first team now. I can't knock him off of there. I think Braden Smith is solidifying himself in my All Big Ten first team. But what is shine most for you about Marcus Damask?
Just the killer instinct. I think in the beginning of the season, it was like, you know, he looked a little timid at times, deferential at times. And now you have a guy that knows who he is. And he gets that from, I think his teammates feed that a little bit. I mean, think about Terrence Shannon. You're talking about a potential All-American guy who's willing to say, hey, if Marcus has got it cooking, yeah, Marcus has got it cooking. And people can say like, oh, well, he's his teammate. But I'm telling you, that does not happen on every team, especially for guys that are of the caliber of Terrence Shannon. So for Marcus, I think he's become one of the toughest matchups in the league. Earlier in the season, it was like, hey, maybe you can post him on smaller guys. You can post him on anybody.
That's right.
And that was seen in the FAU game where he was posting some of those FAU guards. And I was like, oh, that's, hey, they may have something here. And then he's posting Vlad Golden. They're big. And he's scoring. I'm like, hold on. Now it doesn't matter who the matchup is. You feel pretty comfortable with Marcus Damask going at them. So, again, that is a huge benefit in March in the tournament in postseason play when you feel like you have a guy, and I say guys, him and Terrence, where you have this, you know, arguably the most electric player in transition in college basketball. And then if you want to play a half court game, you got a guy that presents a ton of mismatches and makes you work, pivots. I mean, what's crazy about the Wisconsin game, I thought Tyler Wall did a really good job on him.
agree with you. Yeah.
And it just didn't matter. And they were doing everything they could to take away his right hand, everything they could. And he's finishing with his left the whole game. And you're just like, I mean, he truly is. I think he's one of the most skilled players to come through Illinois in, a long time.
Yeah.
A long time. And then that says a lot because there's been a lot of good players that have come through here. So I nothing but great things to say about Marcus and what a pickup that was. And I don't think any of us anticipated him being a first team all Big Ten guy, but he has done that and some.
First seven games of the year, 8.2 points per game. Since then, 18.2.
One of those was a Marquette game that I think he had like 18 in.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. So that's even pulling the percentage, the averages up a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
All right, Mike, Illinois doesn't get a marquee win this season, that quad 1A win. They certainly showed against Tennessee, against Marquette, against Purdue, that they can compete with some of the best teams in the country. I guess the Wisconsin one is a quad 1A win. But those elite of the elite teams, those top 10 teams, they aren't able to win, but they do compete. What have you seen from those games? What do they need to do to be able to win one of those games if they're able to get to the second weekend?
Yeah. You mentioned competing. That's what you want to see in those games. You say, let's be competitive. If you're competitive, you give yourself a chance to win it, to win those games. And when you look at Marquette earlier in the season, that was your third game of the season against a team that returned basically everybody from a Big East champion. And you were toe-to-toe with them. It was a four-point game with under a minute left. And even in that game, your 8 assists, 15 turnovers, you know, Coleman's on a bad leg. There was a lot going on there, and you still fought and you competed. Tennessee, I thought same thing. You're up at half. You were 9 for 36 from three. You know, it was a really tough environment. That's a team that's probably going to end up being a one seed when it's all said and done here. And you went into a really tough environment and almost were able to almost pull out a win. Now they pulled away late there and kept that in like the 8 to 12 range. But just look at the contrast from last year. Last year they had a horrible trend of getting smacked in the mouth to start every single game and digging themselves out of it. I mean, think about Northwestern, think about Michigan at home, all these games where you're having to, like, Purdue on the road last year. It's, you know, you get UCLA. Smacked. Yeah. Like, you get smacked and you have to do this whole comeback thing. And there's no surprise that you get in the NCAA tournament, you play Arkansas and you're down 8-2, you're down 21-10, you're down 32-18. And when you get to March, man, you, if you're the team that's consistently punching the mouth to start, like, that is a pressure cooker environment, and it is a different, it's a heightened sense of tension. And so you don't do yourself any favors if you're the team that does that. And with Illinois this year, outside of the game at Mackey, where I thought they got punched in the mouth to start that game, they punched back pretty quickly. And I think they were able to cut that to 24-21 in the first half. But I just see a trend of, you know, not being outmatched to start games, being in tune with the scout, because that was the problem last year. I thought a lot of scouting report issues. You had a younger team, and that was on display, and it showed itself in March as well against Penn State. It showed itself against Arkansas. And I feel much more comfortable, despite the resume, with this team that you got one of the best offenses in the country. I think the defense is at least trending in a better direction than it was when you looked like maybe mid-February. And all those are positive signs. So despite the resume, I don't have any qualms about this team and what they can accomplish. I think it's all still right there in front of them.
Well, Illinois clinches the number 2 seed in the Big Ten tournament with Michigan State winning a very different looking game than we saw in Champaign on the other day with Illinois and Purdue. Is they beat Northwestern 53-49. So the Iowa game on Sunday has no impact on the Big Ten standing for Illinois or the Big Ten tournament seeding, but it means everything for Iowa here, Mike, is they are fighting for their NCAA tournament life square on the bubble. If they beat Illinois, I bet they will be in. So what kind of test is this from the Illinois side when you have that desperation on the road, you're heading into the postseason, you haven't lost back-to-back games all season long, and this obviously has the potential to be that. What do you want to see in Iowa City from Illinois?
Well, I know Iowa will be juiced. They'll be juiced. I think Patrick McCaffrey then called out their fan base yesterday.
Good.
Said that the crowds haven't been great, so maybe they come out and try to prove them wrong. I expect that place to be loud. I think it's one of the more underrated places in the conference. When that thing gets going, I mean, it's a hole dug in the ground. It's a bowl. It gets really, really loud in there. And it's another opportunity for a quad one win for Illinois on the road. And I actually love the fact it's on the road. And for the same reason that I mentioned for the NCAA tournament a little bit, when you are playing a team at their place that has everything on the line, if you can punch them in the mouth, it gets tight and you can feel it. I mean, you felt it at Illinois home games sometimes when there's like a big game and things aren't going well. It's like this palpable feeling that as a home team, it's like, I'd almost rather be on the road where it's us against the world mentality. And there's like a different psychology there. But you got like this Iowa team, I just don't think they can guard you. It's not a good matchup for them defensively. So, you know, you've been trending in the right direction, I think, defensively for your unit. And that has to continue. You have to be able to fight over ball screens and square your guy. Like, that is the name of the game against Iowa. It is these middle ball screens with whether it's with Dix or with Perkins. If you can fight over the top and square back up, you don't put as much pressure on Coleman Hawkins in drop. You don't put as much pressure on Dane Danger in drop. And then Terrence Shannon and Marcus DeMass, it's got to be the same type of focus that it was when they came in to Champaign on the 24th. I thought DeMass was outstanding on Samford.
Yep.
I thought Shannon did an unbelievable job on Tony Perkins. And that has to continue. And I know it's tough. You're going to be at their place. But I also don't scribe to the mentality of like, oh, they need this game and they're just going to go and win. I mean, we went into Mackey my junior year. We had 19 wins. And if we won at Mackey, we were into the NCAA tournament. We go up 15-2. Everyone's feeling good. And then they just smacked us. Mm-hmm. So whether or not it's their resume or their tourney hopes on the line, whatever, it's mentality. It's coming in there and just saying, we don't care what you have at stake. Yep. You got to go through us, and you got to play that physicality. And you certainly can't get punked on the glass by a freshman for 4 offensive rebounds like Owen Freeman did. So I think all that's going to be on the mind of these Illini.
Before we wrap up here, Mike, I just want to ask you about the atmosphere in that building on Tuesday at State Farm Center was special. I mean, you saw the celebrities come out, including Michael Tulip, Myers Leonard crushing beers, Sidney Brown, Nick Hardy, Nick Allegretti with the Super Bowl rings, Kendall Gill was in it. Like, it was just a really special environment. And I'm thinking of like the last home games of the last few years. I mean, Illinois beats Iowa to win the Big Ten. And 3 years before that, Illinois beats Luka Garza in Iowa, right? Like, there's just State Farm Center, Assembly Hall for a lot of people, has just gotten back to what it should be. And I don't think we should overlook how special that is, and credit Brett Underwood, his players, his coaches, and Josh Whitman, and everybody for bringing that back, because it is special when you get to be in that building for those kind of games.
The vibe felt different before that game. And there's been great crowds all year, but extra police presence and who you heard was coming to the game, and just the I'm walking into the arena, I'm coming over from Houlihan's from the iHotel, and I'm walking over and I'm wrapping around the building to go into the media entrance, and the students are just fired up. There's a line basically wrapping all the way around the State Farm Center. And you can tell that it's back to meaning something. It's, you know, it's always going to mean something to the alumni and the people that went there and the people that go to the games. But when you get buy-in, full buy-in from the students, that changes a lot, because you start getting the students camping out. You start getting everyone fired up. And I think we knew going into this game that it was going to be a little bit different, just because of the discourse over social media with Purdue, which, by the way, pardon my language here, but if I have to see one more thread with a screenshot of the NCAA rulebook for stuff, I'm gonna lose my shit, Jeremy.
Are we talking about Edie stuff?
You name it. It's like I saw a full thread on, well, his hand is actually a part of the ball, and on this block, and it's like, well, you didn't see 6A appendix D, and I'm just like, you know, or the 3 seconds or whatever it is. It's just, it's, I mean, I get it. It's, I'm sure it's fun for people, but
here's my thing with Edie. Like, he's 7'4" compared to 7 foot. Every other fan base was doing the same stuff when Kofi was here. Like, they're so frustrated with how do we stop this guy that they're trying to find like justification of thinking this guy isn't good. He's just big. Zach Edey's really good. Like, yes, he's huge, but he's also really, really good. It's a great Purdue team, man.
Yeah, and there's a reason why there was, and I truly, I'm sitting there before the game, and then as the game starts, I was looking over at some people I was sitting by. I was like, this is as loud as I've heard it in a long, long time. I mean, I was there for 4 years, and we had a lot of really good environments. I think about Indiana coming to town when they were the number one team in the country, but it was different. We were 2-7 in Big Ten at the time, and it was just, I think we had lost 4 or 5 straight, and that place got really loud towards the end when we made a run, but not from the jump like it was in this game, where you could tell everybody in that arena knew how important that game was, even though, you know, you still needed some things to happen in the Big Ten race. I think it was just, forget the Big Ten race. I mean, this is one you just want to win for a bunch of other reasons.
Yeah, and I think you wanted the eye test. But, like, you know, the Arizona game a couple years ago, that's why I like that Brad's doing these home and homes. The Marquette game, like, I just thought there was just a difference there. And obviously the Iowa games have been that way. But here's the thing. I don't mind Illinois fans being fans and going after Edie and all that stuff, is because it means Illinois matters, man. Like, the fact that Purdue fans or Indiana fans or Wisconsin fans are going back and forth, Illinois fans on social media, like, before they wouldn't give you the time of the day, and they'll come back with the NCAA tournament not having success there, but Illinois Purdue,
they both will. They'll both do it. It's like, well, you haven't made a second weekend. Well, you just lost to FDU, and it's just, there's,
that's what's great about the Big Ten, man. That's
these rappers. They care. I mean, I think there are a lot of fan bases that I think are getting rejuvenated too. Like, I think you're starting to see that Nebraska, we already know what they are for football when they're rolling, but a lot of those fans care about basketball as well. And that's, you start to see that, and it's across the board. And you're right. Like, I was speaking more so just for like the rule book stuff. It's just those calls are, they end up being subjective, just like foul calls are, just like travels are, all that stuff. So it's going to be hard to be perfect in the moment like that.
And I did think Edie had a foul or two that I was like, I don't know if that was a foul. The one on Coleman, maybe you could have called. Like, that's a bang-bang play. But some of those, same thing with Kofi. I do want to ask you, Mike Woodson coming back at Indiana. Sounds like Juwan Howard could come back at Michigan. Two of the most disappointing seasons in the Big Ten. Ohio State, obviously an open job. A lot of Dusty May smoke there. So it's interesting. Indiana will not be getting their former manager, who's one of the better mid-major coaches. Just what do you think about that disappointment for Indiana and Michigan and potentially staying put there?
Well, I was kind of always of the mindset that Woodson was going to get another year, just because former player, NCAA tournaments his first 2 years. So I thought he was going to get a courtesy year just to see if this year becomes a trend or is more of an aberration.
Yeah.
And I think with Indiana, and of course, when the seat felt like it was the hottest, they all of a sudden won, I think, three straight now, right?
That's right. Makes it easier. That's for sure.
Yeah. And the Dusty May thing is interesting, because I think on the one hand, everybody, you know, I do think Indiana is one of the best jobs in the conference. But the reason why I think Ohio State is also up there is because, man, if you're Dusty May, you are going to Indiana. Like, you better win, and you better win immediately. Or we've seen that they'll try to, just like Mike Woodson, you go to two NCAA tournaments and year three, they're running you out of town.
It's a fishbowl, right? Like,
complete fishbowl. And I think there's something to be said about a school like Ohio State, where you could say the main focus is football. And I think that gives you a little bit of leeway, and there's maybe not as much pressure, and you still have good resources. Everybody talks about NIL, and I'm always of the mindset of, don't tell me what the NIL situation is like when Holtman's 13th in the conference. Mm-hmm. Like, don't tell me what the NIL situation is like when, you know, Woodson is not winning as many games as he could. Like, they go and hire a new coach. Ohio State goes and hires Dusty May. You bet your bottom dollar they're going to get an influx of NIL. That's how that works. It's excitement. It's, hey, here's our plan. And so that's how those things can change. But with Juwan, I don't know. I think, you know, you phased out of that kind of Elite Eight, Sweet 16 era with some of Beeline's guys. And, you know, now it was a disappointing year. I think now
one of the worst years, I think, in their program's history. 8-22, 3-16. They're losing games in the Big Ten by an average of 10-11 points. Like, this is so bad. Like, this isn't just like, down year, we'll see if he can bounce back. Like, this is a bad year after what I thought was a really underachieving year last year. Like, Mike Woodson, I get it, one more year, but I think his seat should be incredibly hot, because I think the expectations need to be higher at Indiana than just eking into NCAA tournaments. Like, they should be in contention in the Big Ten. But Michigan, this is just a train wreck of a season. I know his health problems, I know all that, but this is 2 years in a row that this has just been a bad roster building, bad coaching job. So bring him back, I think, would be ridiculous. But he's Juwan Howard, and he's at Michigan.
Right. It's the downside, I think, of the alumni hire.
Yep.
I don't know how many times we have to see it for administrations to shy away from it, because I mean, look at Patrick Ewing, look at Chris Mullins, like, look, you know, you could go on down the line. Even Penny Hardaway is kind of treading water a little bit, even though I think out of the alumni guys to come back, he's had a decent amount of success. Now he's not in a high major conference, but I think if a change is made, it's because Juwan decides to go back to the NBA, or maybe it's under like his own volition.
Yeah.
But I totally agree. I wonder what that job would look like. It's why I put it in the middle of the pack when we did our jobs, mm-hmm. because they've had admissions issues. They've had NIL issues. And that's a big piece of today's day and age, because now you're talking about the portal and on NIL. And if you're not clicking and humming on those fronts, it's just really hard. It's an uphill battle. Now you got to rely on your staff, and you got to be perfect. You got to be near perfect. And I just, the past 2 years, this Michigan program, I'm just, they don't really have an identity.
Yep.
Right. And I mean, at least for this you know, look at this Illinois team over the past few years. I mean, their identity, they've obviously had a lot of talent. They've had Kofi, they've had Io, they've had Trent, they've had, you know, Terrence Shannon, they've had Marcus Damask, but they've tried to mold into like, hey, here's kind of our style and how we want to play, and let's be really good at it. And Michigan just honestly just kind of looks like they tip the ball and
agreed
and see what happens. And that's just that's not a way to compete in this league. You got to have something that you're really good at and lean into it.
Yeah, I just don't know how you look back at last year's team. Like that one, Hunter Dickinson and two first-round draft picks and don't even make the tournament. It just doesn't compete for me. Michael Tube, you are the goods, man. Left to do a Big Ten tournament draft next week when we get on here. Maybe get Piper involved on that, see what we think about that. It's one of my favorites, man. It's in Minneapolis this year. I always prefer it in Indy. But
no kidding. As the resident Indy guy here. I would love for it to be in. Yeah, it should be Indy and Chicago.
Yeah, and right. Even Chicago. Like, listen, I'm an Illinois guy. I root for all the Chicago sports teams, but you know, being in the United Center, like if it was at Wintrust, which isn't big enough for this event, like
yeah,
it might have a better vibe just because it'd be closer to downtown. But Indy, it's just so easy. It's in and out. It just feels like an event there, and Chicago just feels like another thing that's happening.
Well, if you want a good story, I don't think I've told this before. Apologies if I have, but when we played in the Big Ten tournament my sophomore year, we lost, you know, Tracy Abrams right there on a floater against Michigan, like a shot we saw him hit hundreds and hundreds of times, just misses. And, you know, we're bummed, but we're staying at the Marriott downtown Indy, and it's right by Gainbridge, or at that point it was Bankers Life.
Yeah.
So we walked to the game. And we walk home from the game, which is interesting. Just the fact that you can do that is cool because you're like walking past people on the street. And but what was really cool about it was we finished, walk out of the arena, and we're walking down the sidewalk. And I think Gainbridge has almost like a beer deck up top, like up above the street. And you got these Michigan fans and these Indiana fans just dog cussing us on the street, and we got guys yelling back at them. And it was just like, I'm standing there, I'm like, it's pretty cool. it's cool because like everybody's all around each other. Whereas in Chicago, it's like I was at the Big Ten tournament last year, and I think we stayed at the Hyatt downtown on the river. And then you got to drive, like, you know, it's 10-15 minutes to get over to the United Center. It's not the easiest to get to, and
there's nothing around there.
It's very disconnected. Where like downtown Indy, we got Gainbridge, you got restaurants right there. People are walking around. It feels a lot like an NCAA tournament where everybody's kind of around the site and there's different teams. And so, yeah, that's my pitch.
Now, I do think Minneapolis is going to have a more similar vibe to Indy because
Minneapolis is awesome.
Awesome city. Just so far away for a lot of the fan base. And I know the Big Ten's expanding. We'll see if it goes to LA and other places like that.
Vegas.
I'd be cool with Vegas. I'd rather do Vegas than LA because I think the fan bases would travel to that.
Agreed. Yeah, that's a destination. Like I had the thought process. I'm like, do I want to go to Minneapolis? And I will say, when we traveled to Minneapolis to play Minnesota when I was there, it was cool because we're at the hotel and the hotel would overlook, like, I don't know, is the baseball stadium Target Field?
Target Field, Target Center.
Target Field, you have the Target Center. Like, everything is kind of right there. And now I don't know what the restaurant scene is around there, but, you know, it sounds like it's pretty good. And that always lends itself to a solid overall environment for the Big Ten tournament.
Yeah. Michael Tube, you're the goods, man. We'll catch up next week.
Appreciate you, man.
Great stuff as always from Michael Tube. If you want more of him, we got our film review of the Purdue game about to be published later on, what is it, Thursday, March 7th. Got a busy couple weeks ahead. We got Pro Day on Friday. As 16 Illini expected to participate in some kind of way. Some of those guys are injured. Johnny Newton won't participate. Doesn't sound like Julian Pearl will participate, but it is a big day for some guys. I hear Isaiah Adams, Keith Randolph, Isaiah Williams will participate in some ways in the testing or the workouts And then guys like Casey Washington, Denzel Dax, and big day for them. So I have my five things to watch for the 2024 Illini NFL Pro Day up on the site now. Joey Wagner caught up with Nick Allegretti. Derek Piper, I know, has a story coming out of Merez Johnson and the end of his high school career, just one step short of getting down to state in Champaign, but he was at the Purdue game and obviously going to be a big part of next year's team and the future of Illini basketball. So you can check all that out at IlliniEnquirer.com. Thank you, as always, for listening to the Illini Enquirer podcast. Give us a follow, a rating, and a review wherever you get your podcast. We really appreciate that. So if you can take out 10 seconds right now and do that, that'd be great. And if you don't already, check us out on YouTube. You can check out all our interviews there. I love consuming things there. You kind of get to pick and what you want to watch and get to consume all of that. So our YouTube page has really grown. We appreciate all that. So if you don't yet, subscribe to us, hit that notifications bell, like our videos. We appreciate when you do that. It really helps us out. Everybody have a great day. Take care of each other. We'll talk to you next time right here on the Illini Enquirer podcast.
Bye, everybody.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.